1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. This announcement that I forgot to make, no senior saints on Thursday, all right? Because, again, we're anticipating bad weather, cold weather, so no senior saints again on Thursday. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, and the key thing, which are God's. Which are God's, our body and our spirit, they are God's. We're talking about giving, and talking about giving what is not mine. The last few weeks we've been talking about giving and talking about, first of all, giving what is mine, and that the Lord says, give me thine heart. And then we talked about offerings. Those are ours. They come out of our 90%. Alms, those come out of our 90%. Those are when we help somebody, try to be a blessing to somebody. And those are the things that are ours. We can give God our heart. And by the way, when we give him our heart, all other giving is much easier. And then this morning we talked about giving what is not mine. And of course, we talked about that last week. The tithe, of course, is not ours. It belongs to God. The Bible says tithe is the Lord's, so 10% of everything I receive is the Lord's. And then we also talked about the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit is God's. It says the body and spirit, which are, or your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so this morning we talked about giving our spirit. How can I give my spirit? Well, the Bible talks about yielding to God. And we talked about be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so as I yield myself, as I yield things out of my life, I get rid of those things, God fills that spot and fills that place. And really, the filling of the Spirit is control of us. And the more we yield to God, the more he controls us. And that is what we're supposed to do. Now, tonight, we're giving what is not mine, and we're talking about our bodies. The Bible says in our text that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, dwells in this body. And it just makes for an interesting battle. I mean, it's just automatic. Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about it. And if Paul had problems with it, you should not be shocked that you have problems with it. Because again, our body is it's more attracted to the world and to the flesh and those kind of things. Our spirit, obviously, is our connection with godliness and righteousness. And so if the Holy Spirit of God dwells in my body, I mean, there's going to be friction. And so we've spent a little time talking about that. But again, everything goes back to the idea of giving God our hearts. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection on godly things, and therefore you're going to feed your spirit. Your spirit's going to yield again to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and you are going to be what God wants you to be. You're going to grow like you should. And so, again, if my love and my affection is on God and godliness, certainly it's going to be easier to be able to give all these other things. And so we come to our body, and this is certainly a battle with every one of us. Again, our body, the attractions of the world and flesh and sin and all that reach me or my soul through my body. And then the attractions of God and spiritual things reach me through, or reach my soul through, the Spirit. And so you see the battle that goes on. And again, two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. The one I feed will dominate. And if you feed your flesh will dominate. And your spirit will suffer. And it will not grow, and you will not grow as a Christian. It happens all the time. A person gets saved, and they maybe grow for a while, but they don't keep growing, and the flesh just keeps pulling at them and pulling at them. And therefore, obviously, we see the battle. So at salvation, God bought, the Bible says, I'm bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ, and he bought my body. And so it is not mine, it is his. And we need to understand that is the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. It is not ours. And like I've started out with this giving, as we've been talking about it, in reality, we know everything is God's. We understand that. But he gives us something. He entrusts some things to our care. And one of those things is a body. And we have this body. But once we get saved, it is his. And so as I yield my spirit to him, which is already, it is his, but I yield it to him. What am I supposed to do with my body? And I have three things to give you tonight. Number one is the obligation. The obligation. And we see it clearly here in our text that know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Again, we have this idea, well, you know, it's my body, I can do whatever. No, it is not. It is his, and he has let you have it. He's let you use it. Obviously, it'd be very inconvenient not to have it. But we have to deal with this body because the Holy Ghost dwells in this body. And so we have to deal with it. We have to deal with our bodies of flesh that again, are, as the songwriter said, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Well, where do you feel it? You don't feel it in the spirit. You feel it in the body. Your body is attracted to things that are not godly and things that are totally opposed to what the Spirit of God wants you to be attracted to. So it is not my body. Well, you're very attached to it. I understand, but God makes it very clear. He bought it, he purchased it, and therefore it is not ours. All right? It'd be like me doing whatever I want with my body. Would be like somebody going to your house and painting it whatever color they wanted to. It's your house. They aren't supposed to, or maybe they decide that you need another wall knocked out and they knock out one of your wall. I mean, they can't do that. You say, well, yeah, that's my house. And God says, yes, that's my body. God says, it's my body. My Holy Spirit dwells in that body and you have an obligation with your body. I have an obligation with my body. And so we have to deal with it. Now, again, we hear today, and we're going to hear it more and more and more as the end times come, it's my body. I can do whatever I want. If it's a lost person, I mean, they're saying, you know, I can do anything I want to do. Now we have saved people saying, well, I'm saved. I can do whatever I want to do because when I got saved, I became free. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:22, just over a page in your super giant print Bible. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Boy, what a blessing. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You see, yes, we are free men, and we are free, thank God, from bondage of sin, and we are free from the penalty of sin, and we're not going to go to hell if we're saved, praise God, and we don't have to suffer that penalty of sin, and we don't have to suffer the bondage of sin. We're free. We can walk with God. We can talk with God. We can live for God, and we're free from the penalty of sin. We are freemen. But notice what it says, is him being free, he that is called being free, is Christ what? Servant. Yes. Somebody put it this way, no obligation to punishment, but a new obligation to service. It's not my body. It's not for me to decide. It's not for me to come up with whatever I want to come up with just because it may feel good or just because I may like it or not like it. I am now Christ's servant. In fact, it goes on in verse 23 and says, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men, because you're a servant of God. And the world is doing everything it can to attract us away from this obligation that we have to our God. This is not my body. This is his. We have no rights to this body, to what is called our body. But I'll tell you what, the flesh fights it. And the flesh is going to keep fighting it. And so that's why we go to number two. Number one is the obligation. Number two is the presentation. So as we have a spirit that is not ours, it's God's, it's bought, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, we have to yield our spirit to the Lord. We have to yield. We have to get rid of stuff in our lives. We have altar calls. We certainly, we're reading our Bibles, as we're praying, there should be that yielding. There should be that, God, forgive me for this. God, help me with this. And getting stuff out of our lives as God then fills that. And fills that place, and fills that void, and praise the Lord. That is what we call Christian growth. But now with our bodies, it's a little bit different. Now it is a presentation. Go to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. And again, we know these verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, what do? We present, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Well, because it's not ours. Why is it reasonable? Well, because he bought us. Because we're bought with a price. And so very, very clearly, we have a presentation that we have to make, and that is presenting our bodies to God. Now, we'll talk about it in a minute. That is, I believe, a daily thing where we say, God, I present my body. But remember, it's a battle. And every one of us goes through that battle. There's not one that doesn't go through or has not gone through this battle, because our flesh is selfish. Our flesh wants to go by our feelings rather than the truth. Our flesh wants to go by what we like rather than what we like or dislike rather than what God says. And so it is a major battle. And that's exactly why God says in Romans 12, it's a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. What do you mean? I have to die to self and live for Jesus Christ. That's how I present my body. Paul said it, and we've talked about it a couple times. I die daily. Now, he didn't kill himself. You know, besides, you'd have a hard time doing that every day. But he died to his flesh. He said to flesh, and in my thinking, you know, maybe we should be like this. Maybe we should literally have a funeral every morning, you know. Just have a little funeral service and say, you know, flesh, you're dead. Flesh, you have no control over me. Flesh, I die to the flesh. I die to self. I want to live for Jesus Christ. Now remember, you know, this is made much easier when we give him our heart. We started off with that. My son, give me thine heart. And when we give him our heart, wow. I mean, it is so much easier to do. Because again, this is a battle, because we're talking about dying to self. We're talking about dying to the things we like, the things we want. But we die to self so that we can live for him. It is a living sacrifice. Again, set my affections on things above. Choose those things above, and it makes it much easier. If we have our affections on the world and on the flesh and on unrighteousness, if that's where our affections are, we're going to have a hard time dying to self, because we're going to gravitate that way. Our bodies are going to gravitate that way. Set my affections on things above. Choose God's way. John 15, look at it. John 15 and verse 13. John 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He said, I'm your friend. Will you lay down your life for me? Praise God. Jesus died for us. And we have song after song after song about Jesus dying on the cross to pay for our sins. And praise God. And most of the time when you have somebody give a testimony and people give testimonies, they'll say, you know, I just want to thank God Jesus died on the cross for me. And you should, and we should thank God. And that is what the Lord's Supper is all about, talking about his dying on the cross and giving his body and his blood. But I want to tell you something that we ought to really be thankful for, that he lived for us. What do you mean? I mean, the Bible says he was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. And if he sins, his death means nothing. You see, thank God he died on the cross. But praise God, he lived for us. He lived a perfect life. Now, what did he do, preacher? Well, we know he died on the cross, but before he died on the cross, he laid down his life. And he lived that perfect life for us. What a demonstration of his love. Well, sure, his love seen as he dies on Calvary, but his love seen as he lives for us, as he comes down and leaves the ivory palaces of heaven, and he walks in a wicked, wicked world, and people hate him, and they curse him, and they reject him, and he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and yet he never sinned. And if he had sinned, his death on the cross would mean nothing. Praise God, he lived. Now, what's harder? What's harder? Is it harder to die to prove our love, or is it harder to live? And I say to prove our love, not that we necessarily have to prove our love, but what really is the hardest thing? And I've given this illustration before in reference to this verse. If I told my wife, you know, I would die for you, that's telling her that I love her, I guess, but isn't much, because I would go to heaven. That'd be nice. It'd be 72 degrees. I started to say no snow, but I suppose in heaven you could have snow at 72 degrees. I don't know. But I would be free from sin. I'd be free from this body. I'd be free from headaches. I'd be free from trials and troubles. And so to die for her, and I'd leave her, she would get some life insurance money, not much. But I would leave her very, very little. And I'm in heaven rejoicing. I'm on streets of gold. I don't use asthma spray anymore. I don't use my glaucoma drops anymore. I can see everything. Huh. Now, again, I'm not selling short dying. I'm promoting living. Because I'm going to tell you something. And every husband here, every wife here would have to testify, it is a whole lot tougher to live for your spouse than it ever would be to die for them. It's a whole lot tougher to say to them, hey, you're more important than me. I'll put the temperature where you want it. I'll go the extra mile for you. I'll do what you need done. And that's what God is saying, I believe, when he says that greater love hath no man than this, that you lay down your life. Lay down our life. What's Paul talking about in Romans 12? He's talking about being a living sacrifice. Lay down your life. What do you mean, priest? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Amen. To thee. Yeah, but it's mine. What about my rights? No. It's his. And it's a matter of saying, Lord, here is my life. I die to what I want. I lay down my life for you. Greater love hath no man. And again, it's nice to say, you know, and it's so easy. We say it all the time. Oh, you know, I would die for you and all of that. But what if we said, I'll live for you? I'll live for you. I'll live for you. Again, as we think about that, and I'm getting close here to the end of this point, but I want you to think about, you know, we often would say, you know, if God put me in a position where I had to die, and you know, we're in days, folks, where they're starting to talk about Sharia law, and they're starting to talk about things that we've never heard people talk about before, as far as Christians are concerned. And they're talking about things in other countries where Christians are actually giving up their lives. And so it shouldn't be foreign to us. But most would say, you know what, if it came down to it, I would die for Jesus Christ. And if you say that tonight, let me ask you a question. If you die for him, would you tithe for him? Because that's laying down your life. Would you? I'll die. I would die if they're going to chop heads off. I'm going to be in line. You know, would you start giving offerings? That's living for him. Would you give alms? Would you help your brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you give alms? Let me ask you this: would you yield to the Holy Spirit of God? Yield like I preached this morning, where we just simply don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Just yield to the Spirit of God. Would you say, I'll die for him? Yeah, but will you live for him? because that's the key. You know, if Christians were going to be burned at the stake, I'll be there. But would you pray? You say, it seems like it might be easier to get burned at the stake than to really pray every day. I understand what you're saying. Would you read your Bible? I'm so excited so many read through their Bibles. But again, you know, I wish everybody would just read your Bible every day. Just read something every day. Ask God to speak to your heart. Would you read your Bible? You know, if persecution comes, if Sharia law, whatever it's called, if that comes into place and I got to stand for Christ and they're coming at me and ready to take my life, I would stand for Jesus. But would you do right among your peers? Would you do right? Again, it's presenting our body. Every day, I die. I die. I die. I die to the flesh. I die. Would you watch right? Watch the right things? Would you listen to the right things? Would you talk about the right things? Would you just be right? You see, a lot of times we get it all confused and somehow we think the greatest sacrifice in the world would be my life. If I die for Jesus, that would be a great thing. He wants you to live for Him. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And so number one, we've seen the obligation, that is, our bodies are His. They're not ours. They're not for us to control. They are His. We have an obligation with the body that we have. Number two is the presentation. We should just simply give our body as a living sacrifice. Alive. Not dead. Alive. It's reasonable, the Bible says. And we simply say, God, here I am. I die to my wants, my wishes, my desires. We talk all the time about, have you surrendered your life? I'm fearful that so many have never. We always think that's for our kids. It's not just for our kids. It's for every one of us. If you're 8 or 80, we should all be surrendered. God, I want to live for You. I want to live for You every day. And that is, it is every day. It is giving my life. Lay down my life. Lay down my dreams, my wants, my desires. I want to do whatever You want me to do, God. And then number three, the last thing is the demonstration. The demonstration. Notice Philippians 1, verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The demonstration, as I offer my body as a living sacrifice, as I live for Him, Christ shall be magnified in my body. The demonstration. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify. What's it do? As I die to self, as I sacrifice, as I lay down my life, and I say, God, whatever You want me to do, whatever You can do with me, this flesh, whatever You can do, I yield to the Spirit, I lay down my plan, my desire, my dreams, my wants, I lay it down for You. And what does that do? It shines and it brings glory to God. That God could ever even use us. It's an amazing, amazing thing. John 13, verse 35. John chapter 13 and verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And again, what a testimony. How will they know? How can they possibly know? How do the how do the people at work know? How do they know that we're disciples? How do they know even about Jesus Christ? And sure, we give them track. Sure, we talk about the Lord. Sure, we do all those kind of things. But having love one to another, how do we do that? Well, there's only one way, and that is we die daily. And the demonstration, again, there are many, many verses we could look at. But again, another way of giving. Again, giving something that isn't mine, but God has entrusted. I mean, certainly, I'm the one walking around with it. And now it's up to me to make that presentation. It's up to you to make that presentation. Every Christian sometime and often should say, God, here I am. Here I am. I die to self. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want to live for you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.